Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Good to have you with us today, where we talk about all things evangelization, sharing Christ with the world. And we have, oh man, we have a show for you today. We have a show for you today, and we're going to be talking with Father Von Trako. Have you heard of Father Von Trako in the Twin Cities? Have you heard of priests who came in from the Anglican Church, married, and have been incredibly fruitful in the Catholic Church as priests? We're going to be talking to him today, and he has a fascinating story. So call up all your friends right now. Tell them to take their coffee breaks at work, because we have a show for you, and I'm looking forward to that. Hey, you know, I was thinking on the way into the show today, I was thinking about you, actually, and I was thinking, what would life be like if you really didn't know Jesus, if you really didn't know him, and you know, life is just going on, and you went to college, you got your degree, you got your job, you bought your home, you've got two cars, you're trying to put the kids through college, and that's kind of just life, you know, this is life, and you're getting older, and then all of a sudden, one day, you walk into a Caribou or a Starbucks, and there's Jesus sitting in the corner, and he signals you to come on over and talk to him. And you sit down, and he begins to tell you about who he is and what he has for you as far as a plan. And you didn't even know that this was really true. You never imagined actually meeting him, but suddenly you met him. And then he said to you, come follow me. How would life change for you? How would life be different from that day on? Do you think that if you met Jesus in a coffee shop and he said, come follow me, do you really think, and I'm asking myself this question too, do you really think that you could go on with life like you did last week? Do you think that if he said, come follow me, do you think that tomorrow would be any different than yesterday? Oh, wow. I think life would be totally different. And I think that for us as Catholics who have committed our life to Jesus, sometimes we lose sight of this dynamic relationship of following Christ on a daily basis. And we just sort of get caught up with, well, life is about buying groceries and putting kids through school and, you know, getting the oil changed in the car like I did yesterday. And we kind of forget about what life is really about and that Jesus is inviting you to follow him. So I want to encourage you today. If you feel like your life is kind of, you know, spiraling into a vanilla, then I want to introduce a little peppermint bonbon today, and that's that relationship with Jesus that really does make life worth living. You know, we've got a lot of interesting things, beautiful things happening in the Archdiocese coming up, and one is the big Archdiocesan Youth Day. That's coming up October 21st, and I want to take just a few minutes to tell you about that, the 24th, October 24th. Did I say the 21st? Did I? Don't show up on the 21st. If you do, just pray. But it'll be on the 24th of October. It's going to be an awesome day for youth. And they've got some great speakers, Sarah Swather, Dan Driver. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a great day. And here to tell us about it for a few minutes is Jean Stoppelstad. Now, she is the director. She is the director for family life here in the Archdiocese. And Jean, good to talk to you.
Hi, Jeff. Good morning. How are you doing?
I am doing very, very well. And I was earlier in the week thinking, this is going to be such a major event for youth in the Twin Cities that I need to get you on here, and we need to shout this out really, really loud.
Absolutely, absolutely. The what you were just saying about meeting Jesus in the coffee shop,
yeah,
and how sometimes our life kind of spirals into vanilla and we take things for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Archdiocese, that happens to youth too. And Archdiocesan Youth Day is that moment of encounter within our archdiocese, something really shocking. It is the coffee shop, right?
Yep.
And it helps us to see Christ in not only in the sacraments, but also in each other, and really call forth that encounter in a really radical way, that Christ offers us his love so that we can love others, so that we can live life with that new zeal and excitement, see things in a very positive and exciting way. So that's kind of the purpose of Archdiocese and Youth Day, and the speakers are all set up to do that. just as you mentioned, Sarah Crawford.
Yeah, she's incredible from what I hear.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, she's fantastic. And Dan Driver as well. Bishop Cousins will be there. You get to do a Q&A with Bishop Cousins. Ever want to ask him a question about anything?
Now, this is going to be taking place at Roy Wilkins Auditorium. That's at the River Center. It's Saturday, October 24th. And what are the hours?
It starts at 1:30, and it goes until 9 p.m. So 1:30 to 9 p.m. You can get you don't have to get up early to get there. It's at 1:30, and we end with adoration. Always probably the highlight of the day is that final personal one-to-one, when you look Jesus in the eyes and receive his blessing through the Blessed Sacrament.
Do you have a theme this year?
We do. It's called Blessed Are the Pure in Heart. And, you know, sometimes Scripture just seems to be kind of flat words on a page.
Mm-hmm.
So on Saturday, the 24th, those words are going to leap off and penetrate the heart. Because what does it mean to be pure in heart? How do we seek happiness? What makes us truly happy? A lot of times we chase after things that are not fulfilling. But when you have a pure heart, you realize what is the core of your being and where you're going.
Amen to that. We're talking with Gene Stolpelstad. Gene, who's this for? What age groups are we talking about for the 24th?
This is for freshmen in high school through seniors.
Okay.
So it's kind of at that age when our kids are looking at, you know, what has God planned for me? Or what do I want? What am I chasing after? What is my life plan? And it's really easy to lose our focus of what makes us happy, right?
Yes, that's for sure. And you know what? Our offices are partnering, and you're doing a great job of putting on this Archdiocesan Youth Day, which, by the way, I would recommend all of you, if you have kids, if you have teenagers, get them signed up for this. You know, a lot of teenagers will say, oh, come on, Mom, I want to do this or do that. And Gene, you probably have run into that before, too. What's your recommendation for parents that they hear this from their kids? I don't know if I want to do that.
Oh, yeah, I have three young adult sons, and I remember when they were in high school, and they just kind of look at you and go, really?
Serious, Mom?
Exactly. And I just always strongly encouraged. I asked them to go. I challenged them. I set up a challenge and asked them to go and see what it's about and let me know what they liked and what they didn't like.
Well, we're partnering this year. We're going to do our little part to help you. And so we have a new initiative in the Office of Evangelization called Keepers of the Fire. Keepers of the Fire, which is an initiative where men get together around fire at a couple of churches, and they pray for the kids while they're going through this conference. And I think that's an amazing thing.
Oh, I'm so excited about this, Jeff. This is going to be great. Because I just came from the World Meeting of Families and the Papal Visit, and the Holy Father again and again and again in his addresses said, we must support the family. We must find ways to help families support each other. And this Keepers of the Fire and Archdiocesan Youth Day, oh my goodness, that is perfect. Men, dads, fathers, grandfathers, older brothers, uncles, praying for the younger kids because they need that blanket of prayer, right?
Well, we're calling all men 18 and older. You're invited to gather around the fire pit for 1 hour. Just all you got to do is 1 hour, but it's going to be between 1 in the afternoon to 9 at night. Those are the hours of the youth conference. And
right.
It's going to be at one of two. You can go to one of two host parishes. One is Transfiguration in Oakdale. The other is All Saints in Lakeville. And this is a great opportunity for you dads to pray for your kids and let them know you're praying for them while they go to the Archdiocesan Youth Day. So let's let them know, Gene. How much is it? How do they sign up? And where do they go to get signed up?
They can sign up within their parishes through their youth ministers.
Okay.
It costs $15, and that's for the includes the lunch, and all of the activities that will be throughout the day, not only the speakers, but a ton of really cool missionary activities as well.
You got sonar, too.
Oh, we've got sonar, too. Absolutely. And we've also, the activity, the the mission. We always have a mission outreach kind of a activity at the Archdiocese Youth Day, and this year it is helping the Appalachian Mission.
Mm, beautiful, beautiful. Well, I can't thank you enough, Jean, for the great work that you do, and I know that you have a great, great conference ready for young people who are they're waiting for their lives to be changed. So I want to encourage the parents. I don't know that many young people are listening to this broadcast in the middle of the school day. If you are, maybe you're called to the priesthood or religious life. But what I would say is, parents, it's really up to you. You have a responsibility to lead your children, and this can be an opportunity for change. And I would also cast that invitation out to grandparents too,
yes.
to mention to their grandchildren, this is something, honey, you might want to do. In fact, I'll take care of the $15 for you to go to it. And I want to also remind people, that the men, that you can pray for your kids from 1 to 9 on the 24th, that's Saturday, either at Transfiguration or All Saints. And if you'd like to know more information about how to be part of Keepers of the Fire, you can call Susanna Boley, and I'll give you the number. It's 651-291-4411. That's 651-291-4411. Well, blessings on you, Jean. Thanks for joining us today.
Likewise for you, Jeff. It is so fun to collaborate with you, and this is going to be a great event.
It
God
is.
Bless.
It is. That's Jean Stoppelstad. She's the director of the Office of Family Life. And this Archdiocesan Youth Day, the October 24th, is going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. And we hope that your kids can join there. We're going to come back in just a moment. And when we do, we're going to talk with Father Von Trako. Amazing story of coming into the Catholic Church. I don't think you're going to want to miss it. You're listening to The Rediscover Hour. And by the way, we're periscoping. Rediscover.
This is Steve Jenkins with MyCard Solutions, and this message is for business owners and managers. My company is providing businesses with secure and innovative payment solutions. We employ advanced technology to protect your data throughout the payment process and to give your customers a quick and consistent buying experience. Our wide range of solutions can give you greater insight into your business, quality information for your marketing program, and improved customer loyalty. Whether you accept payments in-store, online, or on the go, we have you covered. If you're a business owner or manager, or if you know one, call me at 763-535-7375. 763-535-7375. Or at mycardsolutions.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. What a great archdiocese we live in. So many great things are happening right now. I think you've got every reason to be hopeful and filled with joy at what God is doing in the lives of Catholics around the Twin Cities and beyond. And so many wonderful apostolates and so many wonderful people. One of those wonderful people is a friend of mine, and he is a married man. He's a grandfather of two, former Anglican priest, and he's a Catholic priest now. You're thinking, whoa, wait a minute. That's not all adding up. Well, we're going to find out how he became a Catholic priest, and he was ordained May 3rd, 2015. He serves within the geographic boundaries of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis as a member of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter as the priest for a community of former Anglicans. And we're going to learn about that. His name, Father Von Trako. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeff. How are you today?
I'm doing great. And you and I have become fast friends. And not only are we friends in the Catholic Church, but we also we're Apple buddies, with the computers. And we like to talk about that. But we'll talk about that another day. It's good to have you in the church.
It's good to be here.
Of course, you've been in it for a while.
Yeah, about 15 years.
About 15 years or so.
But it took a lot longer to get here than that.
And you're married. And your wife's name?
Norma.
You got grandkids?
Yep, I have three kids, Michael, Jackie and Catherine. Michael is married to Jess, and they have two kids, Lilo and Jude. Lilo is 3 and Jude is 11 months old.
Beautiful. Isn't it great to be grandfather?
Oh, it's awesome.
I love it. I love it. Well, before the boards light up with the calls coming in, let's explain real quick, how can a married guy become a priest in the Catholic Church? Then we'll talk about your journey.
Well, beginning with Pope John Paul II, the church created a path for men who had been ordained as Anglican priests, and some Lutheran ministers also can take advantage of this, who had, after they had converted to Catholicism, their sense of call to priesthood had persisted. And John Paul created a mechanism by which the church could grant them, essentially with the dispensation from the vow of celibacy.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, what you do is you take the vow of celibacy, but it doesn't kick in until or if your wife passes.
Okay.
So if my wife were to pass away, God forbid, I would remain a celibate Catholic priest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, John Paul created what is called a pastoral provision, and then later on, quite a few years later, Pope Benedict XVI created the personal ordinariates, which made it possible for not just former Anglican priests, but entire Anglican communities to enter the church as a group.
Oh, is that what you mean by the ordinariate?
Yes, it's called our particular ordinariate is called the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter.
Okay.
But it's one among 4 across the world. One is in Australia, one is in the UK, and the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter covers the United States and Canada.
And you're basically headquartered in Houston.
Yes, yes. Okay. Our principal church is Our Lady of Walsingham in Houston, Texas.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Well, that's beautiful. You know, your journey into the Catholic Church, I know, is 15 years ago, and I'd like to hear a little bit about that, and also hear what you're doing lately here in the Twin Cities. And you and I have a bit of a story to share, too, of how you ended up becoming a Catholic priest. But right now, you are the chaplain at Providence Academy.
Yes, I am the chaplain at Providence Academy in Plymouth, Minnesota. That's it's been an incredible experience
there.
What a
school.
Oh, my gracious. It's an amazing gift after 15 years of not having a congregation entrusted to me, to have a whole school of 836 students now in some way related to me for their pastoral and spiritual care, and that's been awesome.
Well, I have so much respect for Dr. Todd Flanders and the vision that he has for that school. It really is a bright star in the Twin Cities, and not only the Twin Cities, but the country.
Indeed, and it's a privilege for me to serve there, to be able to teach the faith and challenge kids to a transforming encounter with Jesus Christ in freedom. And who knows, maybe some of them will be transformed.
Yeah, I hope so.
Indeed.
We're talking with Father Von Trico and about his movement from the Anglican Church into the Catholic Church. And let's go back. This happened about 15 years ago for you. Kind of walk us through the process of what led you to go from being an Anglican priest to a Catholic.
Well, it actually started back when I was a Plymouth Brethren evangelical minister. When I was a kid, I had the delightful experience of being raised by parents who trusted the scriptures implicitly. So for me, the idea of not trusting them was foreign. And then I had precocious Anglican cousins who would just probe me and poke me with biblical questions. And they would say, you know, Jesus actually said, this is my body. And they would just walk away. They wouldn't argue. And then they would come back and they'd say, what about that passage that says, baptism that now saves you? What do you do with that? And then they just walk away. And that eventually, that association with the biblical text and what my understanding of the faith was led me eventually to Anglicanism. And while I was an Anglican priest, while I was serving there, I was actually entrusted with the formation of Anglican priests and deacons. And one of my students, after sitting under me for a few months, came up to me and said, hey, Father Vaughn, you know, your answers are sounding awfully Catholic. So that same student handed me a collection of tapes by Scott Hahn called Answers to Common Objections. Mm-hmm. And he said, you might want to listen to these. And so I went to my bishop, Archbishop Randolph W. Sly, who is now Father Randy Sly of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter.
And he was the bishop that I went through, that I was going to become Anglican and ended up in the Catholic Church. Indeed. We'll get to that later, but we have so much in common here.
So I said, is this something you want me to be listening to? And he said, sure, I think you'd find it interesting. So I played those five or six tapes, and as I was listening to them, I had a problem. Scott Hahn was calling them answers to common objections, but I wasn't objecting. So I said, wow, so why am I not Catholic if I believe all the things that the Catholic Church believes? And about a year later, after Bishop Sly asked me to really consider it more slowly, I resigned my position as then canon theologian. Was received, began RCIA at St. Catherine of Siena in Great Falls, Virginia. And wow. We were received in the Great Jubilee Year, Easter Vigil. It was awesome.
That's amazing. You know, just as a side note, when I was a pastor, a Protestant pastor in Dayton, Ohio, I went to meet with Bishop Sly down in Kansas City. And it looked like I was coming in as a deacon first, for about 6 months to a year, and then I would be ordained as a priest in the Anglican Church. And it was picking up a book by Thomas Howard at the book table of Bishop Sly, and the book was called Evangelical Is Not Enough. And I thought, this is going to be fantastic. And I bought it. I read it on the airplane, agreed with everything. And at the end of the book, he announces that he became Catholic. And that led me to call him. And he told me about Marcus Grodi and Scott Hahn, and we became friends, and the rest is history. So we have that in common. And Bishop Sly now is a Catholic priest.
Yes, he is. In fact, Bishop Sly in 2006 left the Anglican tradition, and he was received into the Catholic Church, about 6 years after I had entered the church, and that really restored our friendship. And then he was ordained among the first group of Anglican priests for the personal ordinariate. And at his ordination, actually, Bishop Laverde of Arlington encouraged me to pursue that course. Mm. So I have now joined the ranks of the priesthood with my former archbishop, and it's a beautiful thing.
Well, I want to talk about some of the reasons that you did become Catholic, or the key points for you as far as what you believe that people would like to take note of. But you just became a Catholic priest recently. So for about 15 years, you were just Catholic. And not that there is such a thing as just Catholic, but you're Catholic. But it hasn't been until recently that you became a priest. And how did that happen?
So, sure. About 2 years after I became a Catholic, I was put under observation for the Archdiocese of Nassau. And then 2 years later,
put under observation.
Yes. What that means is the bishop asks you if your sense of call to priesthood has persisted. And if you say yes, then they begin to look at your manner of life more closely with a view to the possibility of petitioning Rome for your ordination with permission to ordain you as a married Catholic priest. That period lasted for about 2 years, and then in 2004, Archbishop Burke of Nassau and his then essentially coadjutor, Bishop Pinder, petitioned Rome on my behalf, and Rome accepted, actually, and I found out just last year, actually, that I was granted a nulla in 2005.
A nulla?
Yes. A nulla is the permission that the church gives that says that there's no impediments, or it's a note that there's no impediments prohibiting you from being ordained a Catholic priest. And so you begin your formation for Catholic priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
But there was about a year and a half into that formation, it came to a screeching halt. Rome denied Nassau the right of ordination, but specifically encouraged me to complete my formation for being so that I would be ordained by another diocese of my choice.
Hmm.
Yeah, and my formator said, oh, this is every priest's dream. And I said, except this one. I would just like something in my life to be normal. and so I, from 2006 to 2015 or 14, actually, we were just in waiting mode, just seeing what God was going to do. But we didn't just wait around doing anything. I spent most of that time either in theological formation, but the majority of it serving as the director of youth ministry in Our Lady of Angels Catholic Church in Woodbridge, Virginia.
So you came to the Twin Cities.
Yes. So I came to the Twin Cities because my daughter had visited, had spent the summer in Fairmont, Minnesota, and she came back saying, hey, Dad, now I know why you and Mom keep talking about Minnesota. You guys need to move there. It'd be a great place for you guys to live. I said, well, if you find me a job there, I'll move there. And so she started sending me job applications, and I think I submitted about 40 of them. And finally got called back to interview for the director of evangelization position at the Archdiocese of St. Paul in
Minneapolis. I have heard of that position.
Yes, you have. And it was a wonderful experience. So I came up, and my wife, Norma, asked me, said, are you nervous about this interview? I said, actually, not too nervous. I said, because it's going to go one of two ways. They're going to ask me administrative questions, and it's going to tank. It's going to go really badly. Or they'll ask me questions about my heart for evangelization and my vision for reaching the lost for Christ. And if they do that, it's going to fly. So I came up here, and I spent about, I think it was about 2 hours in the interview with one of the members of the interviewing committee was then acting Bishop Andrew Cousins, or Bishop-elect Andrew Cousins. And during that time, they just questioned me and probed me about my heart for evangelization. And I walked out thinking, that was the best interview I had ever given. I said, and I called my wife and I said, babes, if I don't get this job,
it's in the bag.
I said, if I don't get this job, the person who gets this is going to be amazing.
Well, we'll find out who got it in just a moment. So then what happened?
So they told us that they would let us know about 5 days later, and they didn't. A month later, I still hadn't heard back. 3 months later, I sent an email, said, you've got to have hired somebody. And they said, please give him my congratulations, but would you just let me know that you have, in fact, hired somebody? And I got a letter from, or email from Bishop Cousins saying, I am so sorry. We told everybody else within 5 days, and somehow we didn't tell you. Well, that email led to a conversation in which Bishop Cousins asked me, said, Vaughn, this is strange. All during the interview for the director of evangelization position, I kept asking myself, why are you not applying to be a priest?
Mm.
And then he said to me, if you do apply to be a priest, I will become your advocate, and I will walk you through this process.
Beautiful. So isn't that something?
It was awesome.
And so they hired me for the position, and I didn't know any of this about you, or I didn't even know who applied for the position, and they just told me that there were some outstanding people that applied, and it was you. And then as a result of that, you end up becoming a Catholic priest. It's like, oh, happy fault in some ways.
Exactly.
Know?
And it really was a happy fault because Bishop, when he asked me a question, I said, I have no idea why I wasn't applying for priesthood. It just didn't occur to me. And I think that was probably a kindness of the Lord, because I was able to speak without any thought about the possibility of priesthood even in my mind. So,
well, we're going to take a break, Father. And when we come back, I want to continue on with your journey and some of the theological points that really spoke to you. You mentioned earlier that I didn't really object, and I wonder, you know, what were a few of the teachings of the church that just so resonated where you thought, I've got to go fully into the Catholic Church. And I want to hear a little bit about your work, too, over at Providence Academy. And what's it like to be a married priest. I mean, it's a unique position that God has put you in, but I imagine it provides you with unique opportunities to minister to people. So I'd like to talk about that. Once again, you're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We're talking with Father Von Trico, and we're also periscoping right now. And you know what that is? That means that we're live. You can see the video if you go to Periscope, if you get that app on your iPhone or your Android, and you can join us live as we are interviewing here at Relevant Radio, Father Von Trico. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour, and we'll be back in just a moment to continue this amazing journey into the priesthood. Rediscover.
Visiting a dentist whose goal is your comfort should make the decision to getting a checkup or fixing a problem tooth easier. Here's Dr. James Kohler at Kohler Family Dentistry in North St. Paul.
New patients at our dental office in North St. Paul tell us how much they appreciate the care we take to make them comfortable. Quite often, we can solve their dental issues the same day. At my dental office, you can still experience a place that values traditional practices but delivers modern dental techniques comfortably.
The experienced and caring staff at James Kohler Family Dentistry specializes in gentle and effective dental treatments.
We have room for more Relevant Radio listeners as new patients. Give us a try and receive a free electric toothbrush. Call 651-777-6454 or relevantradio.com, keyword dentist. 651-777-6454.
That's 651-777-6454 or relevantradio.com, keyword dentist.
Love washed over a multitude of things. Love washed over a multitude of things.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins here. And we're talking about evangelization, specifically coming into the Catholic Church as an Anglican priest. Father Von Trico is with us. Hey, I wonder, before we continue our conversation with Father, I want to remind you that coming up October 24th is the Archdiocesan Youth Day. It's down at the Roy Wilkins Auditorium from 1:30 in the afternoon. That's a Saturday, from 1:30 in the afternoon to 9 p.m. And get your kids signed up for that. It's going to be an outstanding youth day. It's not all day. You know how the kids sleep in on Saturday, so they'll get to sleep in till 10 or 11, but then get them down there to that youth day. Special guest is Sarah Swafford. She is an absolutely fantastic speaker, and I think that your teenagers, 9th through 12th, are really going to benefit from listening to her. It's a $15 charge, but check in with your local parish on how you can sign up your kids for the Archdiocesan Youth Day. And when you tell your kids about it, take no excuses, because you may end up with a couple of excuses. And at the same time, the men, fathers, they're going to be praying for their kids at two locations, Transfiguration in Oakdale and All Saints in Lakeville. And we call it Keepers of the Fire. And men are going to be coming together around a fire pit and praying for the kids. And we're going to be providing those men with prayer cards and how to pray. It's going to be a great time. A great time of fellowship, fraternity, Keepers of the Fire. If you want to pray for the kids during that youth day, then you can call Susanna Boley at 651-291-4411. I'll give it to you again, 651-291-4411. And all these details are at archspm.org. Talking with Father Von Trico, of unusual journey into the Catholic Church. A lot of us, our journey was made at baptism, just a few days old. And his journey went from growing up as a Plymouth Brethren member and then moving into the Anglican Church and then becoming a priest in the Anglican Church and then coming into the Catholic Church. And Father, it is an interesting journey. And right now you're the chaplain at Providence Academy, but that's only one of your chaplaincies.
Yes, the other, I was actually ordained to serve as the chaplain of the Society of St. Bede the Venerable. That's a small ordinariate society, and I've been entrusted with the responsibility to grow this society into a self-sustaining parish. So once monthly, now on Sunday afternoons at 1:30 in the afternoon at Church of the Holy Family, we meet for divine worship. So the first Sunday of the month, we do that. But we will be meeting each Sunday of Advent at Church of the Holy Family at 1:30 in the afternoon on Sundays.
Now, when you were an Anglican priest and you made the decision to come into the Catholic Church, what were a couple of the issues that you felt were quite critical in the decision-making process?
You know, by the time I listened to the Scott Hahn tapes, my conversion to in my thought to Catholicism was pretty much complete. But so we need to jump back a couple of years before that. And the several theological matters really were formative in me, and I called it my period of unhinging. It actually began during my seminary years at Trinity College. I had a professor named Scott McKnight, and he did a seminar in Greek studies, and a gentleman got up and he gave a position paper on Thou Art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Mm-hmm. And Dr. McKnight's response to his position paper was intriguing. He said, you know, we all agree with your theological conclusion, but I don't agree with your exegesis. None of what you said came from that text. And I could remember thinking to myself, oh my gracious, that's how I read that text. So what does that text actually mean? And so that was a critical part of my unhinging. The next text that really became pivotal to me was the same one that my cousin Keith had planted in my precocious mind when I was very young. And he said, what about 1 Peter, where it says, and baptism which now saves you? Well, as it would happen in my advanced exegesis class with Professor Wayne Grudem, he had just written a commentary on 1 Peter. And so I asked him the question when we got to my position paper on that particular text. I said, the text says, baptism which now saves you.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that what the Apostle Peter is saying is, we are in some sense saved through baptism. And I listened for the next 45 minutes as Professor Grudem tried to argue against that very simple read of that text, at the end of which I said, Professor Grudem, you've not answered a single exegetical question. The text simply says, baptism which now saves you.
Right. That's powerful.
And then the dilemma for me as an evangelical at the time was all of my professors were Calvinists, and so they believed in the doctrine of election as articulated by Calvin. But the Epistle to the Hebrews raised all sorts of issues for me. And so I asked Dr. Kevin Van Hooser, who was my systematic theology professor, I said, when he was talking about Hebrews chapter 6, and he described it as a sort of illusory illusion that the believer could actually fall away. And I said to him, I said, but if there is no possibility of us falling away, then why give the warning? It would be unkind at best.
Right. Or very confusing.
Very confusing. And he spent the next 10 minutes or so trying to answer it. But every time he would raise an objection to what I was saying, he would create a straw man. And I pointed out to him, and he said, thank you very much. And he flipped. He said, then I don't have to cover the next 4 pages of my notes. And so what I was perplexed with the confrontation of the scriptures, which I was taught to implicitly believe, and the theological tradition I had been given in. Those things began to resolve when I discovered the Episcopal Church through one of my Greek professors at the college. And I found a home where I could actually freely embrace those teachings, because whatever the Petrine thing meant, it didn't quite mean the papacy. So,
well, I'm going to break into your thought there just for a second, because I have someone on the line that you might remember. In fact, I think I remember him, and he's what brought us together in many ways, and that is Father Randolph Sly. Father Sly, how are you? Are you with us? He's very quiet, you know. You may remember. He's very, very quiet. we're going to try to bring him in, but we called him spontaneously, and we might bring him back, but I thought that would be a lot of fun. Maybe he'll call back in just a moment. But continuing on in your thought there, so that the whole issue of Peter was very, very important. The whole issue of the fact that you can fall away. You can fall away. It caught your attention. What about the Eucharist, which is the center of our faith? How did that differ?
Yes. Well, in Anglicanism, there's a whole variety of ways of understanding it. In fact, the language of the liturgy in Anglicanism seems to me to be intentionally ambiguous so that you can be a memorialist, meaning you don't actually believe that Jesus is present in the Blessed Sacrament, or you could be a you could believe in transubstantiation and use the same language to speak to your faith. And that type of variety was probably which allowed me to enter into Anglicanism. Mm-hmm. But my cousin Keith would not leave it there. He is a celibate Anglican priest in the Bahamas, and he would keep pressing me. And he would actually say, that text, "This is my body," Jesus could have easily have said, "This is a symbol of my body," but he chose directly to say those simple words.
He did. And that's what spoke to me so much, too, and, you know, in coming into the church, is that he meant what he said, and that's what the early church taught. I think we've got Father Sly on the phone right now, Father Randolph Sly. Father, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, do you recognize the voice of the guy I'm interviewing right now?
I haven't got the slightest idea who that guy is.
Well, you are what ties us together here. We're talking with Father Randolph Sly, and
Father Randy is fine.
Is it fine? Okay. Well, I'm trying to be formal, you know. But Father Von Trico is with us, and we're going through his amazing story. And you played such a role in this, as you did in my life.
Well, it's such a delight to be with both of you on the phone. Of course, Father Von and I go way back, and in fact, I'd just be re-signed back to Kansas City where it all began. So I'm not too far from where we first met, Jeff.
Isn't that something? And you were formerly Bishop Sly in Kansas City, and that's where you and I met, and that's where my life changed in that meeting, and particularly picking up that book by Thomas Howard, Evangelical is Not Enough. Now, what's the difference, Father Randy, what's the difference between where you ended up in terms of your movement into the church and Father Von Trico?
Well, I think that one of the things, especially, you know, in my work as a bishop, one of the things that we had been trying to do is, theologically, I think, like Father Vaughn and I have always kind of been walking in that same direction. What I was working with is the possibility of our entire denomination having some form of reconciliation, recognition, or whatever with the Roman Catholic Church. And we had hoped at one point that something like that might have happened, similar to what happened with the Polish National Catholic Church or things like that. And so we began meeting with some bishops and putting together what was in somewhat of a rudimentary form, very similar to what is now the personal ordinariates. And so we began meeting, and I think that for Father Vaughn and I both, we both recognized the need for more of a true connection to the Roman Catholic Church, and particularly for us to be in communion with the See of Peter. Mm-hmm. One of the things that had always been a struggle for me is the question, by what authority?
Sure.
And by what authority was I consecrated a bishop, for example, when we traced our line of apostolic succession back to Peter, but at the same time found that there was, of course, at one point a breach where it had to be removed from being a licit or a legal line of apostolic succession while still maintaining its validity. Mm-hmm. And that was always my question, is we could claim some validity, but we were still not in communion with Peter, so it was not something that was desired by the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We kind of just did it anyway.
Right. Well, I'd like to ask both of you, you know, the question, is this a movement that is gaining momentum right now? Are more and more Anglicans, Episcopalians coming into the Catholic Church these days?
Father Vaughn, you want to go first?
Yes. It appears that is, in fact, the case. we're seeing in the last couple of years, there have been about 72 men ordained as clergy, as Catholic priests for the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. And the number was growing fast enough that the church has sort of deliberately sort of slowed it just so that we, the ordinariate can properly be formed. And so, yes, I would say yes.
And that goes for laity also?
Indeed, because most of the men who've entered the ordinariate have come with communities of some size or another.
Mm-hmm. And Father,
in fact, that
go ahead, Father.
Yeah, in fact, that was kind of the vision of Benedict. Anglicanorum Chaedivus means groups of Anglicans.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, his initial desire was for groups to come in as a whole, and for their former priests to be trained, if they are approved for ordination, to be trained and raised up as Catholic priests to lead these groups to become parishes of the Catholic faith.
Are there unique challenges for you both as married priests in the Catholic Church? Are there challenges that perhaps the rest of us don't see?
Yeah. Yeah, talk to our wives. Yeah. When I received my rescript for ordination, one of the first things that Norma and I had to wrestle with was how would we be able to manage the new demands on our life? And very wisely, she said that she thought it would be best, given the insanity that would ensue in my life, that she resigned from teaching so that she could become like our personal home coordinator. And that's how we've approached it, because we remember very well when I was in full-time ministry before as a priest and how demanding it was on our family life. So, yes, that's one of the more practical ways that it's impacted our family life.
And Father Sly, how about you?
Well, I think the same. The one thing I would say, however, is that, and I'm sure Father Vaughn's had the same experience, is that we've been warmly received by people in the parishes.
Mm-hmm.
They have not, for the most part, I'm sure there's a few people here and there, but for the most part, just welcomed, received, and warmly encouraged into our ministries. I would say that the hard place is for our wives, because they're the ones who have to kind of find their way in the church, which is not normally fit for or shaped for having a clergy wife. And again, where they are receiving a lot of their help is from some of the other wives of the parish who have kind of encouraged them and befriended them in a wonderful way. One of the challenges, I think, is that, again, like I serve right now as the associate for a 3,000-family parish, and so the schedule is extremely demanding, and it requires a lot of time away. So, fortunately, we're empty nesters, but it does leave Sandy with opportunities for a lot of free time.
Father,
while I'm in ministry.
Father Sly, I got to get going, but I want to thank you for joining us for these few minutes. It's always good just to hear your voice, because you played an important role in my life, and you're such good friends with Father Von Trico. So go Royals, I guess, huh?
Absolutely.
Okay. God bless you. We'll talk to you later.
God bless you, Father.
All righty. Thank you, Father Vaughn. Take care.
That's Father Randy Sly, and he is a former bishop in the Anglican Church, now Catholic priest. And we're talking with Father Von Trico. We got just a couple minutes left. Where do you go from here, and how can we pray for you, and what are your needs, which must be unique as a married priest?
Yes. Probably chief among the things you can pray about is that the Lord would bless our efforts to grow the Society of St. Bede the Venerable into a self-sustaining parish. Here in the Twin Cities. So if you'd pray, critical to the start of any new parish is funding. So we start there. But we have a small core of people who are committed to seeing the society grow into a parish, and it's been intriguing to watch their resourcefulness.
So there's a core out there in the Twin Cities that would be, and I assume they're former Anglicans, that would be joining you. You would be the pastor, and you're built. This is really a pioneer work.
Indeed. It's a church plant is what it is.
Right. And I can see that you would need funding for this. And maybe God has put that on someone's heart, you know, even that's listening. If somebody feels moved in this way to be a part of helping in a project like this, the church planting, how do they get in touch with you?
Probably the simplest way to do it would be to email me at father.treco@icloud.com. That's father spelled out, FATHER.TRECO@icloud.com. Or they can call for me at Providence Academy.
Over in Plymouth.
Or they can reach out to Church of the Holy Family, and they will be able to provide my contact information also. That's Church of the Holy Family in St. Louis Park.
Well, Father, I look forward to working with you, even in evangelization. Even though you're not the director, I'm going to work with you in evangelization because I know your heart is there. And we want to remember to pray for you and Norma and pray for this new church planting in the Twin Cities made up of former Anglicans. And I pray that is very, very fruitful. And I'm just so thrilled to be a part of your story, and you're part of my story. And we'll see what the Lord does going forward.
I look forward to it.
Yeah. It's going to be great. Father Von Treco, and if you do call Providence Academy, if God is moving on your heart to be a part of this and to help, even with the finances of starting something like this, call Providence Academy. Say, I want to talk to that Father Von guy, and they'll put you in touch with him, and we'll see what the Lord does here in the Twin Cities. Great opportunity, absolutely great opportunity. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. When we come back in a moment, we've got a lot of great things happening in the Twin Cities. We want to tell you all about them.
Finding a company like AJ Alberts Plumbing with two generations of experience and reliability can help you turn your plumbing project into a one-stop process. Remodeling or updating a bathroom is easy with a call to AJ Alberts Plumbing.
I'm Matt Alberts of AJ Alberts Plumbing. Our family business is a Relevant Radio sponsor because of the values we share. If plumbing needs arise in your home or you'd like to quickly and painlessly upgrade a bathroom, I hope you'll contact us at AJ Alberts Plumbing. You can visit our showroom or we'll come to your home.
For a bathroom remodel, water heater, or fixes throughout your home, benefit from the visit of a reliable plumber. Contact AJ Alberts Plumbing at 651-738-0580.
Make sure when you call to let us know that you are a Relevant Radio listener for discounts on fixtures or improvements. 651-738-0580. 651-738-0580. For two generations, AJ Alberts Plumbing, there is a difference. And I just showed up for my own
life. And I'm standing here taking it. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Here we are in the fall. Fall in the Twin Cities, lots of great things, lots of great opportunities. And Paul, every week we look through this list of things happening, and I'm amazed. This is a lively archdiocese.
More and more and more. We are busy, I'll tell you. St. Albert the Great Parish invites you to their famous fall festival this Sunday, October 18th, 11 to 4. Great food, classic festival booths, raffles, plus free kids' creativity area. St. Albert's is at East 29th and 32nd Avenue South in Minneapolis. Father Joe Gillespie looks forward to seeing you there.
And the Argument Club for Women presents the first of a three-part series on the theme, What Do Women Want? That's Tuesday, October 20th at Nativity of Our Lord Church in St. Paul, 6 p.m. reception, 7 to 8:30 p.m. program, $10 at the door. For details on this event and the three-part series, please go to the Facebook page for Argument Club for Women.
Wednesday, October 21st, Professor Christian Brueger presents Renewing End of Life Care, a Catholic perspective on dying, presented by Carrazio Healthcare Apostolate and the University of St. Thomas Catholic Studies. Evening includes Holy Mass, reception, dinner, and talk. For more details, go to CarrazioApostolate.com. That's Carrazio, C-U-R-A-T-I-O, Apostolate.com.
Hey parents, Catholic Parents Online invites you to the 17th Annual Luncheon and Silent Auction Fundraiser on Saturday, October 24th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Southview Country Club in West St. Paul. Father Robert Altier will be the keynote speaker. For more information, call 651-705-5409 or visit catholicparents.org.
A healing mass will take place Tuesday, October 27th. Rosary at 6:30, Mass at 7 at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. Father Jim Livingston will be the celebrant. What makes a healing mass unique? The theme of the entire mass is healing. And examples might be physical, spiritual, or emotional healing, healing of a relationship, or help to forgive. All are welcome to attend. For more information, call Deacon Jim Pufall at Mary Mother of the Church, 952-890-0045.
And Holy Academy, Holy Family Academy, that is, in St. Louis Park, is having an early childhood education symposium on Thursday, October 29th at 6:30 p.m. Come hear pre-K through second grade teachers discuss philosophy and curriculum in early childhood education. To RSVP, please visit Holy Family's website. That's hfamn.org.
Just enough time to tell us what's coming up next week, Jeff.
Well, tune in to the next Rediscover Hour. We're going to talk with Jeremy Stanberry. He's the co-founder and executive artistic director of Open Window Theater. Jeremy will talk with us about the theater's new fall show, Sister Calling My Name, which is centered on faith and conversion. We'll also talk with Father Joseph Katarski. Yeah, the Jesuit priest of the Maryland Province of the Society of Jesus and main organizer of the Catholic Scholars Conference, which is coming to the Twin Cities. So that's going to be exciting. So join us next time on The Rediscover. And today, remember, Jesus is calling you to follow him. He's got things for you to do. God bless.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.